was asked to share a little bit about healing. And so I asked God, what do you want shared? What do you want us to do? And he led me to John chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. So there's a few things that I think God is telling us in this story of Jesus' healing the man at Bethesda. The first is that there's a multitude of sick. You walk around this world, you're going to see sick people. There's sick people everywhere we go. In this one place, at Bethesda, the pool would stir, and the first one in would be healed. So the sick would gather there. And Jesus is one who healed, and so it makes sense that he would go to a place of the sick. So he went and found the sick. There's other stories where the sick came to him, but in this case, he went to the sick. We also need to find the sick. We need to go to the people that need Jesus. It's not just the physically sick, but also the sick in heart. We need to go find them. You guys are distributing tracts. You're evangelizing, and that is part of healing the sick, is going and sharing Jesus. But we also need to provide the heart healing and the physical healing as well. But in this multitude of sick, we're only told that Jesus healed one man. And I've often wondered in this story, why did Jesus not just walk through and heal everybody there? He could have cleared out this whole colonnade and area of sick people, but he didn't. And so as we're going and finding the sick, as we're going and giving God's healing, we need to be doing what Jesus is doing, did. And that was, he always did what the Father said. He said what the Father said and did what the Father showed him to do. And for whatever reason, Jesus that day was to heal one man. And so when we see sick people and they don't all receive healing, it's easy for us to go, "Well, I failed. I didn't bring God's love. I didn't bring God's healing." But sometimes there's just one that we're supposed to heal that day. There's a multitude, but God has asked us to go to the one. And so we need to have open eyes and open ears to the Father to hear which one is it that we're to go to and how are we to approach them. And when Jesus did approach him, he asked him a simple question in verse 6. Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" And that seems like a silly question. Of course a sick person would want to be healed, or so we think. But some people are sick and they don't want to be healed because there's a cost to being healed. There's a price to pay. If a Muslim comes to salvation in Christ, he has a very high cost with his family and his culture to come to Christ. If somebody is ill and gets a benefit, say they're a beggar and receive money given to them, the cost of being healed is that they no longer can beg, but then they have to go work. So there is a cost to being healed. And so Jesus ask the man, "Do you want to be healed?" And we, likewise, when we're out ministering to people, we need to be sensitive to where they're at. Are they willing to pay the cost to receive Christ or to be healed? Many say they want healing, but they don't really want it because it requires a change in their life. And this man responded with excuses. In verse 7, he says, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." 38 years he'd been an invalid. He'd been ill, unable to be healed. Jesus is offering him healing, but he has reasons he can't be healed. It's excuses. "Well, nobody's put me in the water. Somebody gets there before me. Nobody loves me enough. Nobody's told me enough. I don't understand." There's excuses. And we are going to come across that in our ministry as well. People will have excuses why they don't want to receive Christ, or they don't want healing of their heart or their body. And what Jesus responded with, he didn't even acknowledge the excuse. He didn't say, "Well, you know, you could be faster, somebody could come and help you." He didn't even acknowledge the excuse. Jesus simply said, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." The man had an excuse, but Jesus said, "Here's the answer." He gave him the offer. He said, "You have the chance for healing. And how you do is you get up, take up your bed, and you walk." But what does that require of the man? It required obedience. The man had to be willing to get up, to take up his bed, and to walk. When somebody comes to Christ, they have to be willing to lay down their old self and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. In physical healing, when we're praying over them for physical healing, there may be something they have to do. There's many examples where Jesus would do something like put in the mud on the man's eyes, but the man wasn't healed until he went and washed. And so there's not a formula for healing, but there is obedience. We have to listen to what God is saying and do what he says. And then, once he was healed, the man didn't lay back down. He didn't go, "Oh, hey, I'm healed, wonderful, I'm going to go back to my mat." He didn't lay back down. He walked out of the area there. He walked out of the pool of Bethesda and into the temple area. And the pool is right near the temple. It's not far from the temple there in Jerusalem. And it was a Sabbath day. And the Pharisees came and, "What are you doing carrying your mat? That's not permitted." He broke the rules because Jesus said to carry your mat. So sometimes that obedience means that we have to break the man-made rules in order to obey God. But this man was healed. 38 years he was sick. And the rest of his life, we aren't told about the rest of his life, but we know the rest of his life he was healed, because Jesus' healing is not just for a moment. It's for the rest of our life. It's for eternity, really, because we get to spend eternity with him. The obedience is, in my opinion, the hardest part. Because we have to die to ourselves. We have to put aside our ways, our thoughts, our feelings, and just do what God says. Obey. Walk it out. Men will criticize. This man was walking, carrying his mat on the Sabbath, and he was criticized. He was put down. You guys are handing out tracts, and you're criticized. They're coming as a mob to get you and to beat you up. But God, when we're obedient, will protect. And he's proven himself just in what you shared about him protecting you in that time. That doesn't mean we're comfortable. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It may be scary. It may be painful. But God will protect, and he will walk with us. Dallas has a story of healing.
We have lots of stories. We could keep you here for a very long time. I won't do that. But I'll share the one about me. Actually, I might share both of them. When Mark and I were learning about healing, we had gone to someone's home, and she was teaching us, and she prayed over me. We had gone for a different reason, but she prayed over me, and I felt something. I didn't know exactly what it was, but she had put her hand here, and I felt something. I have had trouble breathing since I was a baby. I was born with asthma.
And in fact, when I was about 10 years old, one of my lungs had collapsed because I got so sick. And so I learned how to scale back my activities or not do so much so it wouldn't make me so sick. And I just got used to living that way. But I noticed after she prayed for me that I wasn't having any trouble breathing. And so I called her and I said, "Did you have something on your hand when you prayed over me?" And she said, "No. Why?" And I said, "Well, I felt kind of this tingly feeling." And so I said, "I think the Lord healed me." It happened to be 2 weeks before my 40th birthday. So I understand when this man waited for 38 years to be healed, because I had to wait for such a long time for my healing. I had prayed for it for a very long time. But the Lord chose in that instant to heal me, even though that wasn't what I was pursuing. I was being obedient and pursuing teaching on healing instead of seeking healing for myself. So that's where the obedience plays into this story. I am a counselor, second story. I am a counselor, and I had someone come into my office, and she was limping. Her leg really hurt. And I said, "What's up with your leg?" She said, "Oh, I don't know. I did something to it, but I might not be able to go into work tomorrow. It's so bad." And I said, "Okay, well, how about if I pray over that? Would that be okay?" And she was like, "Sure, I don't think it's going to do anything, but if you want to." So I did. I put my hand on her leg, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that this leg be healed." And instantly, she said it felt better, and she was able to walk out. The cost for her was she didn't get a day off of work.
The next day, she got to go to work.
So just a couple of stories to help know that God does still heal today. It wasn't just in the Bible, but it happens today too.
Healing is all for His glory. There are some that get on television and they raise money by healing. They are taking God's glory, and God will deal with them. But I believe that any time we're working for the Lord, it is for His glory. He is an adequate provider. He's more than an adequate provider. He takes care of us. And if we give Him all of the glory, then we will have more power to walk in His ways. In Matthew chapter 5, we're told of another story of Jesus that He was on the hillside, and many people came to Him. I'll just read it real quick. Matthew 15, 29 to 31. "Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and He went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to Him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put Him at His feet, and He healed them, so that the crowd wondered. When they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." So here's an example where instead of Jesus seeking the sick, the sick came to Him, and He healed them. It kind of refers to all of them. And so these people wanted healing. They were seeking God. But the result is the end here. And they glorified the God of Israel. They didn't glorify Jesus. Though Jesus is God, to them, Jesus was a teacher. They glorified the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. In that glory, we need to be careful as ministers, because some people will come and go, "Oh, you have the gift of healing, or you have the gift of teaching, or the gift of evangelism." And we will feel, "Oh yeah, I can do this." But aside from Christ, aside from His power and the Father's commands and His power, authority He gives us, we can do nothing of value. And so as we go, we need to continually be looking to Him and giving Him all the glory. So when somebody comes and says, "Hey, you have, thank you so much for praying over me and providing that healing. We need to glorify God. We need to turn that to God. We need to be gracious in the process, but we need to turn that to God. For everything is for God's glory in all that we do. So any questions that I can answer and or try to answer?
Sometimes you pray for healing, but there is no healing.
Uh-huh.
So in that case, what will be our understanding? It is our weakness or it is grace or hard weakness who need to be healed?
I think that I've prayed for healing more and not had a healing than I've had healings when I've prayed for healings. So I wonder, is that my lack of faith?
Yeah.
Or is it the other person isn't willing to pay the cost? Or they don't believe?
Right.
And the conclusion that I have come to is it's God's sovereignty. God gets to choose, and I don't have to understand God. I have to be obedient and pray for the healing, but it's God that does the work. The person has to be obedient and willing to receive the healing, but it's God that does the work. So it's God's sovereignty, is my conclusion.
So it's not our responsibility to make it happen. It's God's power and God's alone that allows it to happen. And there's a difference sometimes between a healing that happens over time because we keep praying for it. Remember, I prayed for a long time that God would heal me of asthma. I was 40 years old before it happened. But you don't stop praying. It just didn't happen the first time I asked for it. Right? But I was still healed. So it may be a delay. It may be a miraculous right then in the moment. The second story I shared was an in the moment. It happened as I prayed for her leg. But I gave you two different examples. One was a long time. One was in the moment. So it's up to God. It's not our responsibility to make it happen. And we haven't failed if it doesn't. And God hasn't failed us if it doesn't. He's working something else out for His glory. We just don't know what it is. Does that help? I'm sorry.
Everyone has the power.
Is everyone have the power of healing? Or everyone have the power of healing?
So I believe God has gifted me with the ability to lay hands on people and pray for them, and to sometimes know what it is that they need prayer for without them asking. But only if He reveals that or if His power flows through me is it doing anything. I don't get to decide. God decides. I get to be obedient. If I hear Him tell me something, then I'm obedient. But I don't get to decide this person or that person. God decides that.
Just come from God.
And the power always comes from God.
There was a time that we were at a church service, and Dallas had an impression that she was supposed to go put her hand on the back of somebody. And she had no idea. She knew the person by name, but didn't really know anything. And she went and put her hand on his back and just prayed the Lord would do what God was asking her to, why he had asked her to put her hand there, that the Lord would do whatever was needed for this man. And later, he came back and said, I don't know what happened, but your hand was so hot. It was like your hand was on fire on my back. But it was it his back or his lungs? His back. He had a bad back. And his back was healed that day. So Dallas didn't even know what it was that was wrong. She just knew, go put your hand on his back.
And pray.
And pray.
As you know, that if I got it wrong. The repossessed gift of the gem should it be given at repossessed gift under forgiving?
I believe that we are expected to pray as God instructs us to pray. And I also believe that for the moment He may flow His power through you, even if that is not a gift you typically operate in or it's not something that happens all the time for you. But you're the believer, you're the Christian that's there in the moment and He wants to use you. And so I believe that He can do that too.
So that is a gift come to anyone.
It can come to any believer.
It can come to any believer at any moment that God chooses.
It seems like that some believers have more of a stronger gift of healing. It happens more often. But all believers in obedience to God can participate in healing.